You're listening to a special extended free edition of Sweden in Focus from The Local. To get full-length weekly episodes every week, as well as extra midweek episodes, please visit the link to The Local Membership Plus in the episode notes. Here's this week's free edition.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Sweden in Focus, The Local's weekly news podcast. Today's episode is slightly unusual in that we're recording it live from the offices of Stockholm Business Region, an organization focused on attracting more business, investment and talent to the Swedish capital. And we're going to talk today about Sweden's need to recruit and retain highly skilled international workers. The reason we're at Stockholm Business Region is that there was a panel discussion in Swedish here earlier today, the 24th of April, on a similar topic. And we're going to continue that conversation now in English to get to the heart of what the main challenges are for Swedish recruitment companies and employers when recruiting internationally, and also how they can harness the experience of the many skilled internationals already living in Sweden. I'm Paul O'Mahony, and joining me here on the stage are Maria Fogelström-Schylberg, head of Stockholm's Akademiska Forum, Amanda Herzog, who runs the company Intertalents in Sweden, and Laureline Vallée, an environmental engineer from France, who recently found work in Sweden. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Thank you.
Can we find out a bit more about each of you before we get into the discussion? So Maria, if we can start with you. Stockholm's Akademiska Forum operates something called the Stockholm Dual Career Network. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, it's almost 10 years ago now that we started the network. And the starting point was actually that one of our biggest universities had problems, which meant that they lost top scholars they finally had recruited to Sweden. And almost every time it was because that a partner didn't find a job in Stockholm. So we thought that we were in a good position representing 18 universities and the city to do something in common, stronger if you're the more you are. So we started it, and until today we have supported, also from a couple of years later, thanks to a cooperation with Stockholm Business Region, who also met many companies recruiting international staff. So we open up the network also for companies. So we have a number of business partners today in the network too. So we have supported around 1,000 people since the beginning. So we are quite good at dual career work.
And earlier today, you released a new report, the Stockholm Dual Career Network released a new report. Can you tell us what that's about?
It will be available online, but focus is not on migration problems. It's more like it's something that we have to do and that Sweden really needs to recruit international colleagues, as we say sometimes, not staff or talents. You need international colleagues. And we point specifically at the financial benefits of working with international talent that you will see in that report.
Okay, we look forward to reading it. Thanks, Maria. Thank you. Let's hear from you now, Amanda. Can you tell us what brought you to Sweden from the US?
Yeah, sure. So I moved to Sweden about 8 years ago from Orlando, Florida in the US. I actually came to Jönköping to study at Jönköping University. I was originally only supposed to be here for 6 months. It's been 8 years. So that's essentially how I ended up here is I came here for school and I decided, you know what, I really like the work-life balance. I like the professional life here and I really want to build my career here in Sweden. So I decided after I graduated, let's try to find a job in Sweden.
And what jobs did you do when you arrived here?
Yeah, so I originally came here to study marketing. So mainly my focus is to work in international and global marketing.
And what prompted you to set up your company, Intertalents, in Sweden?
Yeah, so I always love telling the story because I feel like my story represents a lot of internationals. A lot of us tend to go through the same struggles. But after I graduated, I heard, okay, it can be a little difficult to find a job in Sweden. And I thought, yeah, I know it's a different environment. I'm willing to take on a challenge. I thought it would take 3 months, maybe 6 months, I was prepared for that. What happened was it took over 13 months and 800 applications to actually get a job in my industry within marketing. And during this time, I was so confused because I was getting maybe 1, 2, 3 interviews per month, but I wasn't going further in the process. So I started investigating. I started interviewing Swedish HR and recruiting managers and saying, can you please look at my CV? Can you tell me what I can change? They were baffled as well. And the short version of this is by the time I landed my dream job, the job that I actually wanted, I had to go outside of the typical advice and do experiments and figure out how can I actually get hired. And by the time I got hired, I realized what's actually working isn't really being taught or brought to the surface. So I ended up founding InterTalents in Sweden to create educational material, online courses. I do a lot of speaking events to help teach international professionals what I believe is the best way to integrate much more quickly. My goal is that they can get a job in the same amount of time that it would take a native Swede because they can understand what a native Swede would understand about job searching. So that's the short version.
Okay, great. Thank you, Amanda. And we look forward to hearing some more of your insights very soon. Laureline, can we turn to you now? Why did you move to Sweden?
So it's the classic story. I've always dreamed of living abroad. And then when my partner finished his PhD in France, we saw that maybe his career would be a great opportunity for both of us to live abroad in a new country and start to build a new life here. So now we moved 8 months or 9 months ago. And we ended up in Stockholm.
Can you describe what it was like trying to find your first job in Sweden? We've just been hearing from Amanda about how tricky it can be. I mean, did it take long for you to find work?
Yeah, it was, let's say, pretty challenging for me. I've never had any difficulties to find a job in France, like from a student job, summer job and regular jobs. I've always worked. But then here I've been unemployed and actively looking for a job for about 5 months. So it was really long for me.
But you did get a job in
yes,
the end, yeah.
I did,
so you're working now. And what are you working as?
So I'm working as an environmental engineer, and I'm specialized in contaminated soil. So I'm trying to remove the contamination from the environment.
And can you tell us a little bit about what the interview process was like? Was there anything that surprised you compared to how it works in France, for example?
Yeah. But yeah, I consider myself really lucky because I landed a job in a really small company. So I would say the recruitment process was more based on the human connection. So I only had 3 rounds of interview and it was only based on my skills and my person. But then what surprised me the most during the whole application process was that mainly you will have to talk to a robot here in Sweden with little opportunity to talk to a real person and to convince a real person that you're the right fit.
How do you mean that you have to talk to a robot first?
Because like most of the big company, you just have to apply through an online platform and then you can't really, you don't fit in the Swedish way of applying for a job. So it was quite difficult. I would have loved to just call a person and explain that, yes, I come from a different country, but I'm the right fit for the job.
Sure. And what was it like with your CV? Did you get help creating a Swedish CV? And what would you advise people to think about?
Yeah, I had some help at the beginning coming from my partner, my families and friends, but they all come from France. So we have a really different way to do things. So then I got some help from SDCN team, the amazing SDCN team. And he really helped me a lot because, yeah, it's whole different. So I think the best tip for me was to show my CV to someone working in Sweden for a long time and knowing what will make the difference.
Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned Maria's network, the Stockholm Dual Career Network. How did you get introduced to them and how did you get on the program there?
Because my partner is a postdoc at KTH. So whenever someone from a foreign country is employed at KTH, we will receive an email saying that if you have a partner, they can join the SDCN Academy and it will help the partner to integrate this Swedish society.
Can I ask you, Maria, what organizations are connected with the network?
Well, it's all 18 universities and higher education institutions in Stockholm. And we have a number of companies. Do you want me to tell the companies?
Yeah, maybe a few, at least just
a few examples. We have
a
Spotify, for example. Yeah. We have Age to Green Steel. We have Electrolux. We have King. Have my colleagues might help me. Assa Abloy, yes. And also a relocation company support us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Laureleen, what would you say for you were the main benefits of the program? You just mentioned getting help with your CV. What else did it help you with?
First, it was to meet some people in the same situation, like facing the same challenges. And then all the support and guidance from the team, like they really know how to prepare you for success in the Swedish labor market. So they will train you for interview. They will introduce you to the Swedish labor market, what you need to know, what you need to not do.
And Maria, your work with the network brings you into contact with a lot of internationals in Sweden, like Laureleen, for example, who have degrees from foreign universities. Mm-hmm. And when we had you on the podcast previously, you said it was a problem that recruiters in Sweden don't possess enough knowledge about degrees from other countries beyond maybe famous universities in the US or UK, for example. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to HR professionals on how they can evaluate the educational credentials of foreign job applicants?
Ooh, that's a tricky question. We heard in the discussion before, Lars Strandegård mentioned that education and universities is very much a question of brand. So some universities are famous for its brands, but maybe you don't know what's behind it. I think maybe you have to dig a little bit deeper, really talk to people when they apply. You can learn. I think the biggest problem is actually lack of knowledge, because from the moment you know a little bit more, then you also accept more. So I think it's a curiosity is a good thing, and not feel that, oh, I don't know anything about this. But you might learn if you ask questions and to evaluate actually what this person knows, not what name it was on the university.
I think somebody in the previous discussion said as well that, you know, you might hear that somebody has a 3-year education from Australia and the recruiter just thinks, oh, they've been surfing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you also encounter this problem, Amanda, of recruiters in Sweden not really being able to assess the quality of degrees from other countries?
You know, it's really interesting because I'm still now 7-8 years later always interviewing recruiters and hiring managers. I actually had this discussion yesterday as well, quite recently, just to sort of prepare to answer this. And what I heard is that it's not really an issue, or they don't believe it's an issue. And I think that's why we need to talk about it, because something that was explained to me is a lot of Swedish recruiters or hiring managers, they tend to go to the same school themselves. So they tend to work with people, or let's say hire people who have a similar background that they're familiar with. So I sort of agree here with Maria, where I think what happens is in the hiring process, they will lean towards someone that feels familiar instead of sort of challenging themselves to say, okay, this is a good candidate, but I'm not really sure about the education. Maybe I can ask the candidate more questions. And on the other half of that, I also like to inform that internationals, I persuade them that what they can do is come prepared to an interview. So it makes sense that maybe a Swedish recruiter, a hiring manager, won't know about every single university or educational institute in the world. So it's really also the responsibility of the international to come up with maybe 3 key points. I went to this university. They're well known for this. This is how many students normally attend. This is a little bit about my degree. So I think if both sides sort of come prepared, where the Swedish side is willing to just, like Maria said, dig in a little bit more, and the Swedish or the international side can sort of educate as well, then we really start to solve this problem.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If we go back to your report, Maria, What more can you tell us about what the Stockholm Dual Career Network calls the hidden cost to Sweden of neglecting dual career support?
Well, it's actually about that a company is willing, say they need this person very much in the company. We need this competence. So we invest a lot of money to find this person and maybe move it here from another country with all what that includes, like transportation costs and relocation and finding schools and salaries. And it's a lot of cost involved when you hire someone from abroad. But they are too focused on the person they will employ. Because often it's, at least for more senior roles, it's often a question for a whole family. It's a family decision to move abroad. It's a common adventure. We want to try something new together. And our numbers show that 88% of our members, let's say, so these are partners who have come with someone, they have left an ongoing career. So, and they are so ready to start to work tomorrow. And then they come here and you say it took 5 months, Laurelin. That's extremely quick. And I also know that you had a couple of proposals because you have a profile that is a big demand for it. But in Sweden, also for a Swede, it's quite normal to it takes a year to get a new job. And already that insight for an international person to come here is really important, that take it easy, take it calm. Everything will be fine, but it will take time. But this monetary financial thing we point at, it's really that a company put a lot of money to employ someone and they forget about the partner who comes with, which means that within a year, they both leave. Mm. So it's a lot of invested money, which is completely waste because the person leaves and also that Sweden are losing money because we won't get income tax from two.
Yeah.
So we try to really look at the financial thing here.
I think somebody mentioned in the previous discussion that it's not a huge investment if somebody has been in the country for 2 years compared to say 18 years.
Yes.
You know, you're not paying for everybody's education.
No,
they arrive ready to go.
Yeah.
I think it was Lars Stranegård, the dean of the Stockholm School of Economics, presented a statistic that 70% of internationals want to stay in Sweden, but only 40% stay. Yeah. So there's that 30% discrepancy where Sweden, as you say, is losing a lot of potential income, a lot of potential tax revenue.
Yeah.
Laureline, you've kind of answered this already, but how important is specifically dual career support in your opinion?
I think just as Maria said, it's truly like really important because yes, the following partner, it's really challenging for them. So they also need to be integrated into the society. If not, the company will have a high risk to lose their employees.
Mm.
And then again, for the family, it will be a next move.
So. Yeah. Mm. Well, this was part of the discussion earlier as well. Some participants hadn't heard of your network, for example. Is this something there needs to be a lot more of in Sweden? I mean, your organization is Stockholm focused. Are there similar organizations elsewhere in the country?
I know there is a similar one in Lund.
Mm.
They do a really good thing, but they have a bigger region because it's Malmö, Copenhagen. They have other challenges. But it's also collaboration between the city and the universities, as we have too. It's very important for us, the cooperation with the city of Stockholm, because this is something that is important for the city. Of course, to get the best people here, and we want them to stay. So I think that's a must. And there are also a lot of good initiatives, for example, Korta Vägen or Yrkesdörren or many projects that really can help, I would say. So it's not that the situation is hopeless. It's just, I would say that it has started and it has to grow because we don't want to lose more people.
Amanda, can you talk a little bit about what you see as the benefits for employers of tapping into a more diverse international recruitment base?
Yeah, so something that I like to refer to is there was a study released by McKinsey. It's something that's referred to quite often. But what they did is they tried to compare companies that focused on more diversity in their companies when they're hiring. And I believe that, I can't remember exactly how many, I think it was about 20 different countries, and Sweden and the Nordics were included in this. And they found that companies that included diversity in their company, so that means at least 20% of their workforce has to be diverse. And this study had a focus on a gender and ethnic background, but they were in the top 25% percentile of profitable. And those companies who didn't prioritize it, they were actually in the bottom 25th percent.
Yeah.
So I think that in itself, and Maria was, I'm very curious to see this report, by the way, but I've seen various reports previously, and they all point to the same thing. If you really look at the numbers and lay them out, internationals who come to Sweden, if you combine all of their economic contributions, and that's through, let's say the spouse doesn't even have a job, think about how much money they're putting into the economy going to the grocery store. Maybe they have a family. If you think about the spouses or the internationals who are working, and let's also talk about the students and how much they contribute to the economy. If you put that together as a whole, they are contributing far more than they might take out in any sort of social welfare and so on. So overall, there's definitely more of a benefit economically here.
Maria?
Yeah, you mentioned students. That's interesting because our owners, they think the Stockholm Dual Career Network has been so successful. And there is a problem in universities here that a large number of specifically third country students want to stay in Sweden after studies. And it's very difficult for them because they don't have much time before they have to leave. Mm. So actually, we're doing a pilot project now starting in October this year. It's called the Stockholm Student Academy, built on the same cornerstones, same basics as we do the STCN Academy. So it's actually for 250 international students, master students from all universities come together in a common program with the same content to get to learn Sweden, how the job market is organized. They will go and meet in 6 different universities. Mm-hmm. They will have social activities together because we have to do something. It's a really big problem that they cannot stay, but they want to. Mm-hmm. So students is definitely an important source.
I've got another question for you now, Amanda, and it's quite a long lead in, so bear with me for a moment. At The Local, we regularly ask readers for their tips and feedback on finding a job in Sweden. And it often comes back to the same things like networking is massively important, learn some Swedish, figure out how to navigate the culture, etc. But in our latest survey, there were also a lot of people who were just struggling and finding it much harder in Sweden than elsewhere to find work. And it's having an impact on people's mental health. Like, here's a quote from a woman from Bangladesh who says, "Over the past 18 months, I've submitted over 600 applications to various organizations. Unfortunately, despite being overqualified for some positions, I've faced rejections at every turn from both large and small companies. The job market here, especially for foreign-born women, feels overwhelmingly challenging." And you mentioned, I think, at the outset that you had submitted 800 applications yourself. And what do you advise people in this scenario where they're sending off hundreds of applications and feeling like they're getting nowhere?
Yeah, there's a few things that I want to put out there about this. But the first thing is I'm going to start with just talking about a recent report that was released at the end of Q1 2024. In general, let's focus on the tech industry. There were actually 89% less jobs posted in Q1 2024 than 2023. And that's just a representation of the job market in general. So things are rough out there. I work as a career coach as well. And I've had a few clients come to me recently who have an almost perfect CV and background and perfect qualifications. Yeah, we can sort a few things out to help them increase it. But I just want to make that the first statement, that if people are being hard on themselves, it is harder than it's been maybe in the whole 8 years I've been here. So that's the first thing I'll say. But let's say, of course, we have to move on. We have to apply for jobs and continue to try to get hired. Usually when people come to me, they're in this situation. They were sending out hundreds of CVs. They don't know what to do next. My very first piece of advice is stop for a second and let's reassess your cultural background and how it fits into Sweden. And I always give this example from my own background. So I'm originally an American. And when I first moved to Sweden, for the whole first year, I was getting interviews and I wasn't getting any job offers. So I started figuring out what is the obstacle here. And what I found out is that I was interviewing the American way. So my CV was okay, but the way I was interviewing was, it wasn't lagom, it wasn't humble. And I started to experiment, to go more into that. In the US, you would basically say, if they ask you, tell us about yourself. Yes, I worked in marketing for 8 years. I managed a team of, 10 or 15 people. We increased sales by X percent. In Sweden, it's sort of backwards. They want to know, who are you as a person? Why are you motivated for this job and this company? And then when they ask you, In the second or third interview, you can go into your qualifications. And a lot of people don't know this. So imagine all of the other cultural things that they're doing different that they learned in their country is normal. And it's not really common in Sweden. And I will just add this last point. I've had some people come to a webinar or take one of my courses that focus on these cultural differences. They will just change one small thing in their strategy about how they're communicating from their cultural background and shift it to the Swedish way. And they'll suddenly get multiple interviews in 1 week. Nothing changed but how they're communicating. So that's my core piece of advice that I'm going to give to people is just start with learning that, because it could be that you're not, you don't need to change very much. You are qualified, but you need to connect with the Swedish side of how they do it.
Laureline, you've obviously managed to get a job in Sweden after a miraculous 5 months. What advice would you give other internationals who are finding it difficult?
Yeah, so I still found that really difficult.
Yeah.
So I would say don't hesitate to reach out for help and guidance, because you tend to isolate yourself and consider yourself not capable, but you are not less capable than in your home country. You just need to find a way to explain it to the employers. Mm. Also, I think the networking is really important here in Sweden, as you mentioned before. So just go for it, connect with people in the same field. And one last thing, I think, is that the work you're doing today, the work you're doing at SDCN is truly making a difference. And I think the companies will become aware that they can also find talents among the international community.
Mm. Maria, the Stockholm Dual Career Program seems to set people up very well for accessing the labour market in Sweden. But for people who don't have the opportunity to enrol, what elements of the program would you say people can replicate on their own to achieve the same outcome?
They can listen to our podcast. Lot of good tips there. I think there are quite many tips out there still. But I think, as you mentioned, Amanda, it's really important that you don't maybe need to change so much. And it's not only by transforming a 12-page long CV to 2 pages. It's actually to, I think, reflect a bit, because if something is wrong, if you send 600 applications and you don't get an answer, something is not good. And maybe you try too hard. You look for, we have seen many people who look for jobs as working at in a supermarket, and next job is a managing director post. You have to decide, who am I? What do I want to do? You have to profile yourself in a clear way, not be too, because if you're a doctor in biochemistry and you ask for a job in a superstore, a supermarket here, then of course you're overqualified. Mm. So I think it's very important to be reflective. Which of my skills are really transferable? Do I have to add something, maybe just something little, to fit in? And also to think about, how can I be of good use for this company? Not what they can do for me, but what problem can I solve with my competence?
Thank you. I was going to end it there, but I actually have one more question for you, Amanda, that I'm just going to spring on you. Is there a talent shortage in Sweden?
So I'm basically like to challenge that idea that there is a talent shortage. What I've noticed from the numbers and the statistics is there's still a great need for hiring talent. So even though, for example, there were 89% less jobs posted, it's not that they don't need the talent. It's really that they're holding on to their budget right now. And if it makes anyone feel a little bit better, they're projecting that it should get better after the summertime, that these companies are like, they have the budget, they have the need for the roles to be filled, but they're just kind of playing it safe. But if you look at the numbers, here's just one example from some numbers in 2023. There were about 117,000 vacant jobs, but there were around 145,000 highly qualified international professionals who were unemployed or underemployed. And those are just the highly qualified. We're not talking about the entire population of internationals who are looking for jobs. Mm-hmm. So if you look at these numbers and you see, is there really a talent shortage? What I've basically learned from the numbers is that it's showing there's not a shortage of applicants, and even companies admit there's not a shortage of candidates who are applying. They feel that there's a shortage of qualified talent. And what I want to propose back to them is, what do you consider as qualified? Can you maybe rearrange what your requirements are, or really reflect on that? And that's sort of what I'm pushing for now is not just internationals, here's what you should do, change your CV and so on, but also recruiters and hiring managers. And it's not just them. Actually, from what I found is a lot of recruiters and hiring managers are very supportive of international talents. It's usually those who are above them. So like CEOs or upper management that they really need to convince to go to the next level. Let's see if we can reassess, because what this will do is open up the market for us to really start connecting with diversity and those who are unemployed or underemployed, and companies who need the talent, they can really start to meet each other and we can actually start to solve the talent shortage.
Thanks, Amanda. Lars Stranegård mentioned in the earlier talk an example of where they, I think it was the Stockholm School of Economics, removed the Swedish language requirements, and suddenly they got just incredible applicants who were a perfect fit for the role. Is that one way to move forward, to
definitely
not rely so much on people speaking Swedish?
Yeah, because already if sometimes I see an ad, a job, and I have a perfect candidate in front of me, I call the company and say, I have a perfect candidate here, but you ask for Swedish. No, that's not so important. So why do you write it in the ad? That's not unusual at all. It's something like, it's a template, not more. So don't be afraid of calling them, say, do I really need perfect Swedish? No, everyone speaks English. So I think don't be too afraid of stretching a bit.
Yeah, my company was looking for someone speaking Swedish.
But you do now?
No, a bit.
And did you have to convince them that it wasn't that important?
Yes. But I mean, both of my CEOs, they've been working abroad for a while, so they know the challenges. They knew I could make it, even without the Swedish.
Does anybody have anything to add?
Great discussion, everyone.
Thank you.
Let's leave it there. You've just been listening to a special episode of Sweden in Focus, recorded at the offices of Stockholm Business Region. Thank you for listening.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've just been listening to a special edition of Sweden in Focus. If you'd like access to all our podcast episodes, make sure to click the link for the Local Membership Plus in the episode notes. With Membership Plus, you get early access to the episodes as soon as they're ready, as well as an extra episode every Wednesday with more interviews and analysis. You'll also be able to read all the Locals' news sites without seeing banner advertising, and if you sign up for an annual subscription, you'll also get family access. Visit the link to Membership Plus in the episode notes for more information on how to upgrade.